Hello and welcome to Zero Hanger TV. We are breaking down the mid-season draft prospects for 2024. We've got about 20 to 25 prospects to name. My name is Tony Trinidad, I'm the host, and then I'm always joined by Mitch Keating, our chief AFL editor. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Yeah, good, good. Less than a week now until the mid-season draft. We've got a few. Yeah, we'll go through a few names across today just to give listeners and fans a bit of an idea on who their club might be looking at and kind of who's up for grabs. And
yep.
Probably next week we'll do more of a club by club focus. So we'll have a bit more of an idea on the shape of the order, which we have a pretty strong idea on already. But yeah, a few names to get through and a few kind of landing spots for each prospect.
Cool. All right. So we have about, we're going to break them down by position, but just as a quick sort of refresher, how does a mid-season draft actually work and when is it?
So it's next Wednesday, the 29th of May. So I guess the best way to kind of how it works is clubs obviously have to have a list spot open. So whether that's a list spot that's left over from last year's draft period, or you know they didn't use one at the supplemental selection period in the preseason, they can open up list spots by moving players who have season-ending injuries to the inactive list, or if they lose players to retirement. So clubs like Collingwood, Melbourne, the Western Bulldogs and Adelaide each had players retire over the last few months. So that also opens up list spots as well. And then the order of the draft is just the reverse letter order. So same as a national draft pick. There's no priority picks or anything like that. It's just reverse as of the end of this weekend, so after round 11. So as it stands, North Melbourne would have pick one, Richmond have pick two, I think West Coast three, Hawthorn four, etc. Now, I think at the time we're shooting, or at least price around 11, I think there's only three clubs that wouldn't have a list spot open. So I think it's Geelong and the two New South Wales clubs.
Yeah. No. Well, let's take a look at the draft order now then. So obviously North Melbourne have that first pick, as you said, then Richmond and West Coast, Hawthorn, St Kilda, Adelaide, Brisbane. So just working in that reverse order. So and that's a top 10 of round one, and then it goes to four rounds.
Yeah. So there's at the moment there's 15 picks in the first round, and then the second round I think are in the S7. Third round only has three, and then the fourth round just has one pick, and that's Brisbane, given they have four guys who won't play again this year. Not to say that they'll use all those picks. Like I think the last year's draft, when they had 12 players picked from potentially 20. So you do see a lot of passes. Even clubs that have two picks might pass on both of them. Even if they have an early pick, a lot of clubs will have maybe one to two players in mind who they would want to draft, and if they're both gone, then they'll just leave those spots open on their list. So as you mentioned, there's 15 spots at the moment open for the first round. North Melbourne, Richmond, Adelaide, Brisbane, Western Bulldogs, Carlton, Collingwood each have two, and then clubs that have three are Richmond, Adelaide and Brisbane as well. So like I said, that I don't think that order will be set until probably Monday. Clubs still have a bit of time to move players to their long-term injury lists, and obviously we'll have the weekend's results that will kind of shake up the ladder order given, and then therefore the draft order. So there's a bit to play out still, but today's episode's more of a focus on the prospects, and then while there might only be a 12 selections, we'll kind of look at maybe double that range. And there's always going to be a few outsiders who will miss. Like last year, I think that Matt Coulter went at pick three or four in the mid-season draft to Richmond, and he was a real outsider. And then we'll also look at some ex-AFL players who might get a second chance. You might see one to two each year. Like last year, Caleb Poulter was another, probably outsider as well. Quinton Knuckle got a spot. And then years before that, Will Hayes and Sam Durden at Carlton. So there might be one or two that pop up, and there's some that have been out of the system for some time that are really making a case. And then there's others who might have just been delisted last year straight into the state league level and can – could be a chance again. So I guess another question how it works is who's eligible. So if a player was delisted last year, automatically eligible to be selected in the mid-season draft. If you retired, you'd have to get an exemption, but very, very unlikely that the AFL would grant exemptions for retired players. I think you just need to have played at least three state league level games in either the WAFL, SAMFL, or VFL. I don't think the TSL and Tassie counts this year. Or if you nominated for last year's national draft, you're eligible. So there's a few things that players need to do to be eligible, but it's not too hard unless you're someone who retired last year.
And most clubs use it as a bit of a just a top-up draft to sort of find what they need positionally.
Like it can be, much like the national draft, can be a bit of a mix of just trying to get in some good talent and the best talent available and filling list needs. And you can't be relying too heavily on, I guess, the talent that you're bringing through here. But it can turn out to be pretty good. You look at Sam Durham this year, Jai Newcombe, since he's joined Hawthorn. You can get some really good talent here. And I think a lot of people might look at the top end of who's available this year as, you know, good draftees at a young age who might have missed last year's draft. And given they're in an overage campaign, maybe in the talent league this year, or they've stepped up into the VFL Waffle or Sample, could be, you know, valued at a late first round, early second round pick for this year's draft. And they're just getting in a bit earlier. So that was probably a good case for the guys like Ryan Marrick and Jai Cully the last 2 years, who both went pick one. Cully in particular was probably going to be rated as a late first round pick in his draft class. But because he was an overage player anyway, this is kind of a new avenue for clubs struggling in the bottom midway through the year to bring those kids in, given they're already overage. So there's some clubs will certainly go for list needs. Some clubs will just get best available if there's, you know, maybe two or three guys on their list and one of them is still there when they're picking. And then, as I said before, there's a good chance that some clubs just come away with no one because they might be, you know, back end of the first round and whoever they want is already gone. And they might have a very, very skewed pool of players that they want to select.
Yep. All right. Well, let's get into the prospects. So we're going to break them down positionally. We're going to start with the forwards, everybody's favorite position. So first one on the list is Jack Hutchinson.
Yeah, one name who I think has probably been one of the earlier discussed so far this season. Didn't take him too long to, I guess, by the sounds of it, be on the radar of a few AFL clubs. First time I saw him, I think it was a practice game for Collingwood's VFL side against Richmond. A lot of high grabs, kicked a few goals early at Punt Road, and really lively and just a big presence for someone who has only just joined the Magpies reserves list this year, came from Wonthaggi. And then once the VFL season got underway, looked pretty at ease as well, spearheading their forward line. So I think he had 9 goals in his first 5 games. Decent highlight reel as well, just giving his high leaping ability, few big hangers.
Gets a lot of attention
in the VFL. Yeah, absolutely. Listed as a key forward, but probably a bit more of a medium forward, not quite that mid 190s to 2 meters, probably on the low end of, I think, 190 centimeters. So, he's probably not the tallest, but obviously his leaping ability kind of helps him play a bit taller. But if they have a club that wants a key forward and someone who can really, I guess, move straight into that and maybe probably number two spot, he's not going to be taking over any number one first string key forwards role. But he's probably more of a third tall forward, or would be a good third tall forward option. Yep. So, we talk about North Melbourne having pick one, would they look at him? There's a couple other names on this list that they might look at instead, just because they probably want someone a bit taller, similar to Nick Larkey, and because they've already got a Zane Dersma, who's 190, 192 centimetres or around that mark, and then a couple others that can play a bit taller, like a Paul Curtis, Eddie Ford, Cameron Zerha. So you'd think that while he's a chance, they might go for someone a bit taller if it was North. And that kind of leaves clubs like Richmond, Hawthorn, St Kilda, Adelaide, Carlton, clubs that might look at getting some key forward depth in at the mid-season draft. And those clubs have some of the earlier selections.
Yep. All right. Next one on the list, Jasper Scaife.
So out of the waffle with West Perth, had a really strong start with them playing at the senior level. I think it was draft year was only 2022, so he's overlooked, gone back to the waffle last year, and then he's really been able to grow and then become a key piece for the Falcons early into this year. So 8 goals in I think 3 games for West.
Good output
for West Perth. I think that was across is the early start to the season. So 197 centimeters, like what we said about Hutchinson, Scaife's probably a bit taller, might be a better fit for North. I don't think they want to really meddle with the medium sized options. So North Melbourne, certainly a great chance with pick one. Obviously they can move up back to pick two if they manage to win against Port Adelaide this weekend. Unlikely. So you'd assume that they have that first selection, and Scaife's probably one of a few that they'd look at. But if not, then Richmond, another team that would love a key forward. Hawthorn, probably another one that would look at key position depth, and Scaife could fall in their lap as a both a list need and the best available, even by, you know, pick 3 or 4 or 5 or whenever the Hawthorn end up selecting. And then St Kilda, probably another one. So similar to those, I think those clubs we had for Hutchinson as well, a couple of clubs that will potentially look at key forwards. And Scaife's going to be a pretty good one, just a bit of a bigger frame, plenty of upside, obviously. And he's a bit younger. He's only 19. Mm. Hutchinson's 22, and so a bit more raw. But, yeah, like I said, a lot of upside from Jasper Scaife.
Next one from South Adelaide is Noah House.
Yeah, so similar to Scaife, pretty young. Like, he only missed out on the draft last year, so he's 18. Kind of like what we said about Marek and Cully, is these are just kids who got overlooked, might not have been on, you know, really a strong chance for the national draft last year, but then they've another preseason, and House is playing in a senior sample side that isn't doing all that well, but he's still managing to have a pretty decent impact. So he's 196 centimetres, 9 goals from 6 games for the Panthers, but he kicked 3 against Adelaide's sample side. So there's some AFL-level talent that he's up against there. And then same with Glenelg, who are the reigning premiers and still one of the better sample sides. So he's doing it against some pretty good talent for an 18-year-old. Mm. Good leap on him. Yeah, again, bit taller than Hutchinson, another probably they're the three key forwards that I think would be above the rest at the moment, between House, Scaife and Hutchinson, and each offer something a little bit different, so there'll be something to consider for any club that would be keen on key forwards. And again, it's kind of similar to the clubs that we've mentioned so far, so North Melbourne, Richmond, Hawthorn, St Kilda, Adelaide, Carlton. He'd be a good chance after a pretty promising year, not only just to start this year, but obviously at the under 18s level last year, part of South Adelaide's premiership side, so has certainly had the stage to show what he's worth, and he's taken it to new levels this year at the state league level.
Will McLaughlin leading the talent league for goals.
Yeah, he's again a bit like a few that we've seen the last few years that have stayed in the talent league as an overage campaign, and that's usually a big benefit to kids like these that get another crack right under the eyes of AFL scouts, because that's going to be the competition where they're really looked at the most. Geelong Falcons have had a promising start, and there's a few that are going to be on this list, but McLaughlin, as you mentioned, 20 goals in 5 games already this year as a medium-sized forward, so bit smaller than the others that we've named, and but he's still good aerially, good ground level, so that balance that you certainly want. So might make it a few other clubs that might be interested, like West Coast isn't one we've named so far. Certainly could look at key forwards, but I don't think they would want to. But more of a smaller to medium-sized option is in McLaughlin. So West Coast could be considered, St Kilda, the Dogs, Carlton, Essendon could look at that kind of option as well. He's pretty promising. I would say it'd be a pretty good chance of getting picked up. And again, just 19. So one of those kids that just got overlooked. And would be a great chance of getting that opportunity through the midseason draft.
Yep. Next fella, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Patrick Weckert.
Yeah, Weckert. I think so. Weckert. Yeah. One of those dual coded athletes, really good at cricket. I think he was at the state league level for cricket for South Australia, and equally as strong, obviously, for football at the Woodville West Torrens, who are having a pretty good year also in the sample.
A lot of talent out of there.
Yeah, no, we've got a few on this list as well for sure. So he's 19, so only just missed the draft in the last year or so. And then 194 centimetres, 9 goals in 6 games for one of the better sample sides is a pretty good output. And they've got some pretty big names, Woodville, both ex-AFL and kind of just real stalwarts in the sample. And yeah, he's been very, very strong over particularly to start this season. So one to watch, again, 194 centimetres, probably not in the level of the other three tools that we mentioned, but certainly could be looked at for sure.
Yep. Oscar Smart over from the Essendon VFL team.
Yeah, so getting into a small forward now. Was among the group that got the Young Guns call-up. I think McLaughlin was in that as well, and there's a few others that we'll mention, but usually that's a good indicator of a few AFL clubs wanting to see this overage talent go up against Vic Metro and Vic Country trialists. So I think he booted a few goals, might have been 5 across 2 games, I'm trying to remember, but good pressure forward as well. I think 4.5 tackles per game In the talent league last year for Bendigo. He had booted 4 goals against Footscray earlier this year for Essendon's VFL, and Footscray are undefeated at the moment and looking pretty formidable at that level. And again, one that just missed out last year. So 18-year-old, really young, sprightly. So Essendon could be one that, given he's right under their nose, and he'd be one of the leading VFL options this year. And the Western Bulldogs are another one who could look at a small forward. And given their pick, in that mid-range, that yeah, he certainly could be an option for them as well.
Yep. A question without notice, but if they're playing for the VFL team or such, does that give them any advantage to get drafted to
no, it doesn't. And you see that a fair bit. I think in the last few mid-season drafts, there's been guys who are performing really well at one VFL affiliate club. Like, look at Jordan Boyd, was at Footscray, picked up from Carlton, and he's one of the real success stories. But you do get a lot, and I think Hawthorn are the big one in recruiting from their own. The way that they've managed to grab talent out of Box Hill has worked really well for them, with the likes of John Newcomb, James Blank, and a few others. So no advantage really. But you do obviously get a good idea of not only the player, but the person and the character.
Yeah, the relationship. All right. So another one, a Toby Murray out from the Adelaide Sandford team.
Yes, he was a pretty the big signing for them. Came over from, I think, the Murray Bush Rangers. I think it might have been his second year or third year outside of after his draft campaign. So younger brother of Crows defender Nick. So there's a bit of a link there when they brought, but they brought him and Tyler Welsh over. So obviously Tyler Welsh is the father-son prospect for them this year for the national draft, and they signed them both at the same time. Pretty big announcement that they made of it. Obviously Welsh was a big one, but Murray is a dual signing and been pretty promising. Like I said, he's still pretty young and raw, kind of tall forward option, but I think a big bonus for him is he's holding down a role and playing a lot of football in a senior sample side, and then B, he can certainly pinch it in the ruck as well. So Adelaide will probably potentially consider him. Certainly could be gone before their pick. They are early enough though if they do want to go for Murray. And one thing they'd have to consider is the role that he'd play, if they want that second ruck option that can play forward. They have got that in Riley Thorpe, but certainly no harm in getting someone like Murray through. But maybe they might hold off until their second or third pick. And then worst case, he just stays in their sample system if he doesn't get picked up at all, and they can still keep close tabs on him. So Adelaide certainly one. You look at clubs that might want ruck forwards, Carlton maybe, St Kilda maybe. So there's a few there for Murray, who's, like I said, promising, not numbers that'll blow off the page, but there's certainly an option, and Adelaide is certainly a chance.
Yep. So we had Toby Murray, and now we've got Tobin Murray.
Yeah, this could stump a few. So there's a couple here, and it's only really one letter difference. So hopefully no club accidentally drafts the wrong bloke, because unlike Toby Murray, who's a more of a tall forward, Tobin Murray is more of an agile, pacey half forward. And has been pretty impressive for Geelong's VFL team. So from the Falcons, links up with the Cats' VFL program. He's played 3 games this year, kicked 6 goals in his first 2 matches, and one really, really good goal from the boundary as well. Another one that featured for the Young Guns, did his stocks no harm. But another one that could be looking for, if clubs are looking for a bit of half forward craft. And Geelong, do they need that given their stocks at the moment? Probably not, but he could be a chance as that local product. And he certainly has some good glimpses of talent, and the Cats will know exactly what they like in him. And if he's worth a pick, given how well their list management team works.
Yep.
But again, similar to maybe an Oscar Smart, to Carlton, Essendon, Western Bulldogs, the clubs that might be after some small forwards or half forward threats. Could be a chance there.
Yep. And last one out of the forwards, so Jed Hagan.
Yeah, I guess more of a utility option, but has proven to be a good attacking threat so far this year in a return to East Fremantle. So he was at Port Adelaide's Sample side last year, and then the year before that, he was at East Fremantle for his draft year. Probably one of the more unlucky prospects not to get picked up. And when I say utility, I'm talking like, I think I was likening to him to Liam Baker in his draft year. So can play across halfback, right through the middle, and that nuggety half forward role as well. But very hard nosed, gritty, determined player. Very much that Liam Baker that I think a few clubs would love to have. But yeah, started this season with the Sharks really well. You know, as I said, played in Port Sample side last year as a player straight that, you know, it's 18, 19. So he's still only 19. So, you know, did Richmond look at him having potentially losing Baker this offseason? Adelaide, St Kilda, Melbourne, Freo, these are some of the clubs that, could do with a, you know, a jack of all trades type player. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly an option there. And he featured for WA in the recent state game over the weekend. Not a huge output, but just goes to show probably where his games are to earn that selection as a 19-year-old.
Yep. Absolutely. Right. So some very interesting forward stocks. Going to move over now to the defenders. And first one has a pretty familiar last name. Don't know if it's any relation, but we've got Jacob Blight from Peel Thunder.
Yeah. So he's one that we mentioned, I think it was after Nathan Murphy's retirement. And we kind of covered something on Zero Hanger TV and editorially on who they could use to replace Nathan Murphy. Now, at the time, we said he's not a like for like. This is more of a big body key forward. And it seems since that he's really risen as a mid-season draft prospect and could be one of the first few picked. So a key defender, featured in the state game over the weekend and was really, really strong, albeit in a pretty heavy loss to South Australia. Has been sensational for Peel, I guess, since the start of last year, since coming across from Claremont. And yeah, just really balanced, great intercept mark, obviously strong behind the ball, good user of the ball as well, importantly. And I think would have to be picked up. Now, whether it gets to Collingwood's pick now is another thing, and whether they're a club that's keen, but any side that would want to add some key position backline depth, and there are a lot that would, I think he would probably be the first picked. So you're looking at North with pick one, you're looking at Richmond as well, who will follow shortly after. West Coast, potentially looking at a key defender, and also a local product also probably helps. And then Hawthorn and St Kilda. So they're, you know, the first 5-6 clubs.
Yeah.
And it'd be, yeah, a good chance that he doesn't go past those picks, maybe, just given A, key defensive depth, but B, just if you're picking best available talent, he's, in my eyes, 1, 2, or 3. So might be seen differently, but I think he's going to be a very good chance, and a very good chance to go pick one, although it sounds like he hasn't actually spoken to North Melbourne yet. So that probably gives you a good indication of where the Kangaroos are at with who they want. I'd be shocked if in the next few clubs haven't spoken to him yet.
Yep. And another popular name is Jez McLennan.
Yeah, so the first on our list who's an ex-AFL listed player, so spent 3 or 4 years at the Gold Coast Suns, didn't get a look in, came through, I think, a draft class that included Jack Lekosius, Isaac Rankin, Ben King, and he was like that fourth or fifth name in that crop.
Easy to get overshadowed by those names.
Yeah, when they've got three of the top, six picks or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So
he didn't play a game at AFL level?
No, he didn't, okay. No. And then so he moved back to South Australia, signed with Central District. So he's still only 23. Like, he had a few years in the comp. Now he's in his second season back in the sample. And it sounds like he's really back on the radar of AFL clubs. Really good season last year, but this year, just if you want to call it a breakout year, as a halfback, but that's good in the air. I'd say like Jordan Ridley, but he's not quite the same height as Jordan Ridley. But good ball user, knows how to win it, and good intercept option. So he won best on ground on the Sunday, again, in a win over Western Australia, and then won best on ground for South Australia again last month in their win over the VFL. So good chance he gets picked up. We'll get to a few others from that used to be on AFL lists that could get second or second chances, but he's probably the best chance out of most. And there's a few that are good chances, but I would like to think he would be the best chance.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So next one, Luke Beacon from Woodville, West Torrens.
Yeah. So there's a few out of the sample and a few out of Woodville, West Torrens as well. So another 23-year-old medium sized defender. I never know whether to go off the sample stats site for disposal efficiency. It seems like they're pretty lenient because he's going at 95% efficiency according to them. I've had a few others I've looked at that are going at 90%. I can't think that every single player in the sample is that accurate of a kick, but still obviously a good ball user, even if that number is 10, 20% off even. So that's, and he gets plenty of it across halfback for the Eagles, and was one of the best performers for South Australia on the weekend in the state game. So maybe similar to McLennan, there could be a few that are kind of keen on that, on some halfback run and ball use, and, maybe it's just Richmond looking at you know, some good talent that's, you know, in that 23 range and kind of still can come straight into a senior side. But then, you know, look at Adelaide. I think for McLennan, we might have had a few more, but Brisbane are probably one for Beacon as well, given they've got, you know, up to four selections, and he could be a pretty good pick if he does get to that third or fourth round, where Brisbane have, you know, two out of the five picks from that point. So yeah, certainly another good mature age option from the sample. So him and McLennan could be quite close.
Yep. And the next one, someone with a little bit of leadership experience, so Will Patton.
Yeah, probably one that got overlooked last year in the draft, and perhaps unfortunate injury certainly played a part in him missing. You know, whether he's still at the level to get drafted is always quite of a hard one to discuss, given he's a, you know, he was a key defender working alongside you know, McCabe as well, Will McCabe, who went on to be selected by Hawthorn in the first round as a father-son. But Patton was, you know, captain of that South Australian side in the championships last year, and has, you know, stuck with West Adelaide this season, playing at a high level, state league level, and has been pretty strong to start the season. So good both one-on-one and intercept option, and pretty young, obviously, still at 19. You know, Collingwood, Western Bulldogs are probably the clubs that might look at some key defensive depth. And yeah, a good chance, one of the samples, maybe top 10 chances, but yeah, maybe more of an outside option,
yep,
I'd say.
Yep. And last one of the defenders, so Ben Hopkins from the Dandy Stingrays.
Yeah, so one that we also mentioned as a potential Nathan Murphy replacement a month or and a half ago. So 18, obviously a top age or overage option in the talent league, averaging 26.6 possessions per game for the Stingrays across halfback. Again, another one that's pretty good aerially, but probably most damaging with the ball in hand and offering some run across halfback. So has had a pretty positive start to the season after not being maybe on the radar too heavily last year. So Adelaide, Richmond, Brisbane are the clubs that we've got listed. There certainly could be a few more, but again, maybe one of a later pick potentially, if anything.
Yep. Interesting. Right. So a lot of depth for defenders and forwards coming through. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll get through to the midfielders. All right. So looking at the midfielders coming through to the midseason draft for 2024. First one off the rank, Jordy Payne.
Yeah. One who's seemingly being talked up quite highly, and for very good reason, but seems like a chance to go to North Melbourne, and I'll touch on why I don't agree with that. But I can't question the talent. Like I said, if a club is going for the best available talent, he's certainly going to be up there. You know, as a overager, you don't see it too often, but named in the Allies squad after being overlooked last year. So usually, obviously, the national champs will prioritise this year's draft crop and some of the best bottom ages. So the fact that he's, you know, getting another shot with the Allies is a great chance, but there's a very good possibility that he only plays one game for them for the Carnival, which is on Sunday against South Australia, and then doesn't play again because it seems like he will get picked up or is a good chance to get picked up. So very versatile, you know, medium size. So he's not, you know, filling a key position role, but I think it's about mid 180s, play across all three lines. More so now a midfielder option though. Certainly can play forward, certainly can have a scoreboard impact, but known to be able to play across halfback as well. So 22 touches per game and finding great form for the Devils this year. And yeah, would be a very high option, but is he one that North Melbourne should be looking at? I don't think so. And there's been a few people have suggested that he's a great chance to go to Arden Street, but he's not what they need. I understand, yes, drafting the best available talent is one thing, but bring in the same type of talent with your earliest picks, not only mid-season drafts, but we're talking even last year's national draft and national drafts before then as well for North Melbourne. I think they should be looking at key position options, and there's certainly a few formidable ones out there. So I'd go against Payne if I was North. Not to say that, you know, they could miss. That's not saying that they'll not be missing out on a pretty good option though. So certainly something they'll have to be weighing up if they do see him as the best available player. But you know, if they do pass on him, then Richmond, West Coast, St Kilda, Brisbane, right there for the taking for him as a Tassie option. And one obviously they'll have to keep in mind given Tassie come into the league in the next few years, and just about anyone from the Island State will be right in their sights. So He's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, like I said, one of the sounds like the higher rated prospects, but if he is the best in this available crop, do North go for him or do they maybe lean towards a list need, which is really at either end of the field with a key position player? So, yeah, he's going to be the really interesting one, I think, and just where he lands if it's not pick one.
Yeah. So they're in an interesting position, and we'll go more into that in our video next week about in the club by club video. So next one is Kobe Ryan.
Was probably a pretty stiff to miss out in 2022 at the national draft. Probably fell away a little bit and entered the season very highly that year in his draft campaign, and probably just didn't have the year that he might have hoped for. But my God, he's responded really well, not only last year, but this year in particular. So, stayed with West Adelaide. I think he was a breakthrough player of the year last year. And this season has been one of West Adelaide's best in an improved blood side as well. They've I think won the last five wooden spoons in the sample. And this year they're certainly on the up, and he's certainly a big reason why. Goal kicking midfielder, good ball winner inside, and then just can have that breakaway pace. Kicked a really good goal, I want to say it would have been last weekend, or the weekend before last, I should say. And he's putting together a really strong first half of the year, and he's only 20. So he's not a player that you'll be requiring straight away, but if you needed to, you can certainly slot onto half forward on the wing, right through the middle. Great midfield option, I think, with plenty of time on his side. I think a lot of clubs which is every club that overlooked him 2 years ago, would have to, look at why they did and if those areas have improved in his game. So West Coast potentially won just for some midfield depth, and Kilda the same, Adelaide the same, Frio as well. I really rate him. Yep. I think he'd be a good one to get picked.
Yep, beautiful. All right, and Max Hall from Box Hill.
Yeah, so as we mentioned earlier, Hawthorn love kind of recruiting internally, I guess you'll call it. Max Hall's been really, really good for Box Hill. Just 22, working in a midfield group that will often have a Henry Hussway or a Josh Ward rolling through, but Hall's right around there as well, as is Cal Brown. One of the best midfielders in the VFL, but Brown obviously spends some time outside of the midfield as well, and that affords Hall to kind of step up a little bit. So 23.6 disposals, 4.3 tackles, 3.4 clearances for the Hawks this year. 22, maybe not Hawthorn's first selection, but certainly they might only have one though. So it'll be interesting. They probably, they can't open up another one unless they have a long-term injury, but that could be interesting one for them if they pass on him and someone else jumps on him. As we kind of mentioned earlier, there's always a few that make those moves, but if they rate him really highly and there's a couple others on the board, then he'll have a decision to make. But worst case, doesn't get picked, stays in their system, and there's always the rookie draft at the end of the year as well. Young midfielder that I think some Hawks fans might know if they've paid a fair bit of attention to the VFL.
Yep. And last one for the mids, another young one, so Liam Kershaw.
Yeah, so another only 18, just missed out in the draft, and more of a wing option, and from the Geelong Falcons. So I think he's two of the three or four that we've mentioned from the Geelong Falcons, or will mention. Going at almost 17 touches in the talent league this year, another one that featured in the Young Guns against Vic Metro and Vic Country's trial sides. Seems pretty highly rated. Brisbane, Freo, Port probably could each do with some outside running options, halfback or up on the wing. And for those looking for a bit of polish on the outside, he's probably a good option to look at.
Yep. All right. So some interesting, we had about four midfielders there. We've got four rucks, and rucks are always interesting in terms of what their actual value is, especially early, because you don't see them slot straight into a side. So we'll start with Joe Pike.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, just on the rucks, big focus for the mid-season draft. It was two or three counts ago that I think there was about 11 rucks picked up out of, you know, 20 odd picks. And then the last few years we've also seen similar trends, not as high, but still a lot of rucks picked. And yeah, Joe Pike is, and a lot of them will usually be, you know, project options, not instant fixes.
Yeah.
Not to say, but there will be some clubs probably looking at instant fixes for their ruck group though. Just given the a few that are battling on the injury front. But Pike, yeah, more of a raw ruck option. Still 24.4 hitouts, 15.2 disposals, 3.8 tackles a game. So not only working really well in the air, but once the ball hits the deck, applying a lot of pressure and moving the ball a lot as well. And another one that's just performing really well for the Geelong Falcons this year. So a good, promising young ruck option that, again, will probably fall into that project mold.
Yep. Next one will be a bit familiar to Port fans, so Bryn Teagle.
Yeah, he's moved back to East Fremantle. So obviously he got picked up in the mid-season draft 2 years ago and certainly could be a another mid-season draft pickup again this year. So back in the waffle and looking, you know, right back at home in putting up the numbers, or even better than what got him that selection of Port Adelaide 2 years ago. Obviously it didn't work out, and they've kind of shaken up their ruck group, the power. But then Teagle, you know, trained for a list spot at Collingwood, just fell short, you'd think. And the Pies would have to be a potential landing spot for him, given they were obviously interested in him earlier this year, didn't have the list spots to get all their SSP prospects in. But now that they've lost Aiden Begg for the year, Oscar Steen probably out for most of the year, they're really battling in the VFL for ruck options when you've got both Mason Cox and Darcy Cameron playing up top. So if one of them get injured, or God forbid both, then they're really going to be without a ruckman for the second half of the season. And Teagle, AFL experience, still playing really good footy, still only 24, and familiar enough with Collingwood that, yeah, he'd be a pretty good option for them with one of their two selections.
Yep. And moving down, so from the Northern Bull Ants, we have Will Elliott.
Yeah, son of ex-cricketer Matt Elliott, who I think, you know, some people might have heard of Will, given he ranked quite highly in his draft year, 2022, had an overage year for Oakley last year, and was solid enough. But I think what the attraction will be this year is how well he's performed in the VFL as a forward ruck option, you know, against senior talent. You know, still only 20. Another one with a decent highlight reel, a few big grabs down at Cramer Street. So, yeah, another one. Again, only 20 and probably needs a bit of size and just a bit more development. But, yeah, I think a pretty sturdy option for anyone looking for a ruck that can play forward and vice versa.
Yep. And last but not least, another young ruckman in Lucas Impey.
Yeah, maybe more of an outside option, but certainly couldn't discount it just given his form for the Western Jets as an overager. So still only 18, 17.8 touches, 35.8 hitouts and 5.4 tackles. Blows, I think, most other ruck prospects out of the water just on it from a on paper perspective. But yeah, I think he'd get a good look playing for the Jets in some local footy, but quite a, you know, lean ruck option that I think could suit any that just need to plug a hole in that third or fourth string that they can get some time into over a few years while they're kind of set at the moment with their first or second string ruck option. So Adelaide could be a club like that. You know, they've got O'Brien, who's only, you know, 28. They've got Riley Thilthorpe coming through, but they don't. And then they've got Kieran Strawn, who's that third option. So they probably want another one in there, particularly if, you know, they want some bit more youth in that area as well. So Adelaide are an option. And then for a few of the other clubs that would be wanting ruckman, Richmond, the Western Bulldogs, Melbourne, Collingwood, as we mentioned earlier, they're probably the clubs that would be looking at, at rucks, whether it's quick fixes now for a club like Richmond, who just lost Sam Naismith to an ACL injury. They might be wanting someone like Teagle, whereas they still could maybe rely on an Impey or an Elliott or a Pike, just given they've got Samson Ryan as well, who's ready to step in.
Yep. Now, that is it for the rucks. Now, one of the cool things about the mid-season draft that I like, at least, is seeing, players that have already played, have that AFL experience, get another shot. So this is our list here of like ex-AFL players. We've already mentioned Bryn Teagle, and there's a couple of other very familiar names on there, like Trent Bianco, Trey Rusko.
Yeah, a few ex-Pies, as you mentioned. Bianco, has gone to Footscray and really could follow the same path that saw Caleb Poulter get picked up in last year's mid-season draft. So cut from Collingwood, joins the Dogs as reserves, plays pretty well. And Bianco was selected for the VFL's representative side for Gather Round and again was a pretty strong performer, albeit in a loss. So could do the exact same thing if the Western Bulldogs like him. But there could be some other clubs that certainly do as well. Some might think he was probably a bit hard done by not to be renewed at Collingwood, but he wasn't playing too much senior footy at that level, despite some, it was good in the VFL, but just got to think if that's his level or if he can take that step above, just given the lack of opportunities that he got in a premiership side. So one, as you mentioned, Trey Roscoe is another ex-Magpie who's gone back to WA, joined West Coast's reserve side, and he's playing more of a forward role. Played in the state game on the weekend. I think he kicked 1-3. So you turn that into 3-1. It certainly reads a lot better up against a really strong South Sandful backline. He's been performing well enough for West Coast reserves, who obviously battle a fair bit in that league, just given the list and the lack of availability they've had of AFL listed talent over the last few years. So another one, but again, more of a forward this year. Certainly can slot back into a defensive role. He did the opposite during his time at Collingwood, went from forward to the back line. Another Collingwood listed VFL player, Ned Long, former Hawk, certainly an option midfielder and good defensive minded midfielder. And then a few other names. So as we mentioned, Bryn Teagle, Jez McLennan, Dan McKenzie is a one of the better players on this list.
Yep.
Just injuries, that stopped him from getting a new chance at St Kilda at the end of last year. Also stopped him from getting a run on the Gold Coast for an SSP spot. He was set to fly over there from Fremantle, who he also trained with when he got injured again. So it's a gamble. It's a big gamble, but if he gets his body right, it's certainly one that would pay off. James Rowe, former Adelaide small forward, has been awesome for Woodville West Torrens since landing back in the Sandful. Moved into the midfield, so he's now adding that to his game. Obviously, it was just a pure small forward with the Crows, but goal-kicking midfielder now. Foss Williams, medal winner in last year's state game win. So, he's might be a surprise to many, given maybe the level he was at with Adelaide. But, he's really grown over the last two seasons. Will Snelling, unlikely. But if you're looking at the best performers across state league competitions, he's been a massive for Sturt since signing with them over the offseason. Was a mid-season draft pick himself in 2019. So whether that means he'd land at a third AFL club, albeit unlikely, he's performing very well and could be a quick fix that has AFL experience and certainly can play at the level for maybe one of the bottom few clubs that just need some talent through the door. And then Matt Ling, who I think he only played 4 games for Sydney a few years ago, got cut and has been playing at Norwood, supposed to be a good chance of getting picked up and as a nice halfback. So in that kind of sample crop that has a fair few decent halfbacks with McLennan and Beacon, who we mentioned earlier. So there's a few there that that used to be on AFL lists that, certainly could be a chance. Like you never quite know. I think like the Sam Durden and Will Hayes picks were a bit of a surprise by the Blues a few years ago. Poulter again last year, maybe a little bit as well. So you just never know. There's a few, and there's going to be a few more as well that certainly could be a chance that pop back up on an AFL list.
Yeah, it's always a cool story. Mm. And to finish off, we've got just a couple of other players to note that we wanted to go over.
Yeah, well, just some other names, nothing too detailed.
Yeah,
but
some cool names on this list.
Illyria, so Riley Holder from Glenelg, probably one of the Sandful's best chances as well, and a bit of a younger option. Adam DeLoya, another Sandful midfielder, a bit like Kobe Ryan, missed out in the draft in 2022 after probably entering his draft year rated really highly. So a good young midfield option who's looking to better his game. Cooper Trembath, overager for Eastern Rangers, done pretty well as an 18-year-old. Gene Luck Velasaris, Northern Bull Ants, 25 years of age. So you're looking at a real mature option there, but just think of Lachie Sullivan and what he's been able to do this year. Velasaris probably equally up there, I think, as from a standard and skills perspective that Sullivan had at Footscray last year. And we're talking about a team of the year player who I think his team won one game last year and still broke into the representative side. So yeah, he'd be an awesome story. And then Flynn Gentle, another one from Coburg, another VFL option, a bit younger, good midfield option. And yeah, there'll be a bit for him there. And then a couple others, a couple of ruck options. Illyrio Smith, who I think was a Hawks NGA prospect, overlooked. So the Hawks don't get access to him in the mid-season draft. If he's available at the national draft, they could again. But he's going at, you know, 7.5 hitouts per game and working in an Eastern Rangers side that's got, you know, three of the best midfield options for this year's national draft. And another one who's been talked about as well is Janquel Munn, so Geelong VFL ruckman. I think he's only played three or four games, and that's mostly because Toby Conway might have been called up to the senior side, and Reece Stanley doesn't usually or won't really be run through the VFL all too often. They'll usually manage him week to week. So that's given Munn a few options in the VFL, and he's looked, you know, okay, athletic, good leap on him. And you're averaging over 22 hitouts, certainly can't help your case as well. But yeah, they're just some of the other names that could be looked at. Probably outside chances, but certainly chances nonetheless.
Good stuff. Ajahn Kuhlman gets the Phoenix Trinidad approval of coolest name on a list if he gets drafted. He should get drafted based solely off of that. So some great stuff, a lot of really cool prospects. When is the midseason draft, and what can we expect from Zero Hanger in terms of coverage?
Yeah, so it's on Wednesday. Well, we've got a bit that's already been posted up this week on site, just from some of the, you know, very much covering a lot of these names and why they stand a chance, and a bit more detail on them if you want to read them. Obviously go to zerohanger.com. Bit more early next week as well, just obviously the latest news, but on top of that, you know, some more list-based stuff and some more insight that you can expect. Wednesday we'll obviously have live coverage on our site as well, every pick as it happens, and then we'll have some fallout stuff from Thursday onwards, and then even, you know, we'll have our club by club episode up ideally early next week, and then maybe even a review of each selection by Thursday or Friday.
Yep.
Just looking at who you picked up, because there certainly might be names that aren't on this list, and look to bring you like kind of all the information that we have and what to expect from some of those picks as well.
Sweet. And we have the draft order always updated on Zero Hanger as well. So that'll wrap it up for the prospects for the midseason draft. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Phoenix.
Lots of talking for you. Catch all the latest AFL news at zerohanger.com, the number one independent AFL news source. Thank you.